Am I troubled by the fact that the staff here tried to trade me in the trade-in tool deal at Menards? Is that a problem? All right. Alderman Riley is with us. He is our alderman. He is a, this is, we have him on, not because he's our alderman, because you don't care that he's our alderman. You care about the things that this city is going to do to screw up your life, either whether you are in the city of Chicago or in the suburbs, how that's going to screw up your life, how the city's going to screw up your life. And I just found one here, alderman, and maybe you can help me understand exactly what's going on. I read here. And again, this is just a half a sentence, so you know, take that with a grain of salt, that the city is considering a ban on all styrofoam and single-use plastics.
Yeah, that was actually introduced today by one of my colleagues.
By one of your colleagues?
Yes.
Okay, who is this troublemaker?
You've heard of him. His name's Alderman Wagasbeck.
Oh, my God.
The chairman of the Finance Committee.
I could have guessed. I mean, it's... Okay. Does anybody, we should have him on to answer for this, I suppose, but does, is there a plan for that?
I skimmed the ordinance. Uh-huh. I'll be honest, I'm not a sponsor of it. Don't plan to join as a sponsor of that ordinance. But what it does really, it gets at the plastic straw issue. It provides, I would say, guidance is probably a really forgiving term. It offers some mandates to the restaurant industry.
That by a certain amount of time, they got to ditch the plastic straw?
Or if people are dining in and you're a fast food restaurant, not automatically handing out plastic straws or plastic silverware.
Or if they're delivering, it's not coming in at styrofoam.
Right.
So is my TV still going to have the styrofoam in that box?
Yes. So the way this works, actually, if a product is already being shipped in the material, or it's a beverage that already is encased in that material when it's sold, it doesn't apply to those products. It's really if for fountain drink at a restaurant, those plastic cups or styrofoam, that kind of stuff is what they're getting at. If you order from Grubhub or one of the other apps, you automatically get your plastic silverware and your plastic straws delivered. Now, this ordinance would require you to request those things. So it's not an outright ban. I think the...
Now, can you be prompted to request it? Would you like plastic?
Are you sure? Yeah, well, I doubt they'll do that. But you know, I think the intent is good. I just have a real issue generally when the city gets in the business of banning things because we share a border with a whole lot of suburbs, and my inclination is always to try and defend the Chicago business owner against their competitors across the border.
Exactly.
So I commend my colleague, but I think that ordinance may need some work.
So my burrito is going to come in a paper towel. I just don't understand, you know, how this is going to work. I mean, I understand. Okay, I get there are paper versions of these boxes now, right? Actually, you know what the lie of all times is? Anytime television or film shows you somebody eating Chinese food, they're eating it out of one of those foldable paper boxes.
Yeah.
I have not seen one of those foldable paper boxes maybe ever in my life. Even when I was a kid, you'd order Chinese food, it would come in like a bucket kind of a thing, like a little bucket. Right? It wasn't a foldable thing.
I don't know where you're ordering your food from, cuz I get the little foldable.
Sometimes
thing.
The rice comes in that, but the rest of the stuff, the other goopy stuff, that doesn't come in that little box. And yet the people on Friends are always eating out of that box. I don't understand.
It looks better than a plastic container, Ro.
Yes, but okay, all right, maybe, but still it's not authentic. And so that would be okay though, right? Like a laminated paper.
Yeah, that stuff would not be banned.
Okay.
And a lot of restaurants are voluntarily, you know, they're proactively getting away from these products on their own.
You like the paper straw. You cannot tell me that.
No, I think it's terrible. It's flimsy in like 10 seconds.
Right.
You get three sips and it's already a noodle.
Right. If you, and God forbid you put it in an alcoholic drink, it actually dissolves in front of you. You watch it.
You're still drinking your cocktails through a straw?
Yes, I do. I actually put my hands behind my back, and I pretend I'm one of those ducks. I just go, I bend down onto the table, and then I go back.
I'll share your comments with Alderman Wagasbeck. I'm sure he'll appreciate them.
Tell him I said hello. You know, which is always the kiss of death in this town. Yeah. When you go, hey, tell him I said hello. Hey. Tell him I'm looking for him.
Hey.
All right. It's probably if there were to be some form of a set of restrictions coming out for plastic or styrofoam, it's likely to be a negotiated settlement here?
Absolutely.
Think?
So I'll be a part of those negotiations, and obviously I'll be representing the restaurant industry and the hotel lodging folks who have concerns about it.
Mm-hmm.
And the hope is we can find some middle ground, try and make progress on addressing the issue Alderman Wagesback wants to address without creating a major economic impairment for downtown businesses.
You know, we need more of the bamboo spork. That's what we need more of. That's a hot item right now, the bamboo spork.
You never use one.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. No, it's good. And bamboo, like, it's the top crop in the world or something like that.
It grows like weeds.
Yeah, it is a weed.
Yeah.
It's just a hard weed.
Hmm.
Okay. That's the next conversation we're going to have. Hold on 1 second, Alderman. We'll come right back to you. But first, Lauren Lapko, what's happening in the roadways and the skies? It's the Rokan Show right here on 720 WGN. Here is our alderman, our favorite alderman, Brendan Riley, is with us. And I say that to all the aldermen who show up in the studio. Let's talk about weed for a second, Alderman, because I think that is, for city residents and also suburbanites who are coming into the city and they want to, you know, stop by a dispensary for their night out, it's shortages still. There are people who are going to the dispensary at 11 o'clock in the morning, noon, and they're closed already because they're out of all of the recreational weed. And people are complaining about the cost of this.
Mm-hmm.
So let's just, and it's not expensive because of the shortages necessarily. This is the pricing structure and the taxing structure, right?
I think so. You know, if you look at other jurisdictions as they rolled out recreational marijuana, they've all had the same issues that we're having here. Not enough product, having to reserve a lot of product for medical patients so they don't sell out on people's medicine. They also, prices tend to start high. The tax structure I can talk about in a second, but right now there isn't a whole lot of competition for these products. There's
right.
only a handful of dispensaries out there selling this stuff. And so those prices are, I think, artificially high. The tax rate is also very, very high on the city level. So there's a blend of taxes that they layer on top of the marijuana. The state has a big tax, a couple big taxes they put on. The county, I believe, just layered on a new tax today. The city has a 3% tax. All that adds up to somewhere around 35% or so on top of your retail bill. So it is a substantial tax rate.
See, that's why people are calling Mikey Sensimilia again and saying, hey, Mikey, I'm sorry. I tried to go legit. I can't go legit. I'm going back to you.
Well, again, the mayor is considering lowering the city piece to address that concern. I think a lot of people who are visiting dispensaries now are doing it because they don't want to be a part of the black market anymore. They want to go legitimate. If you're pulled over in your vehicle and you have marijuana in your car, it better be in the dispensary packaging. Because that's a requirement by state law.
Mikey Sensimilia sells that too.
Well, he better, because Mikey Sensimilia's stuff will get confiscated and you'll get a ticket. So I think that we're going to see, as more of these dispensaries come online in the July, August timeframe, when a lot of the social equity licenses are awarded and those places open, the competition will naturally bring prices down.
Also, aren't you allowed to have a plant in your house, though?
I think you're one or two.
Yeah.
If you're a medical patient.
Oh, I get that.
Recreationally, yeah. I don't think you can.
My neck hurts. Yeah. Okay. All right. Okay. I'm trying to get around the traffic stop right now.
But you know what I think? What I think, though, is that once they've got up to scale on growing for recreational, they want it to segregate so much of that for medical patients, and they'll have more products available for recreational users. And I think across the board, prices will come down.
All right. Alderman Brendan Riley, the question really is this. When will there be a liberalization of these strictures that exist right now in terms of limited number of facilities that you can go buy at and where you can smoke it? Because there's these guys who want to get these licenses for doing like smokehouses, essentially mm-hmm. the same sort of thing that cigar smokers have been doing.
Right. The state law, I don't want to just bag on the legislature here, but the state law does have a bit of a flaw in it. In order to operate a consumption on premise type of license mm-hmm. where people can come in and smoke their marijuana products, one, you can't sell marijuana on site. You have to derive 80% of your revenue from selling tobacco. So there's a problem right there. If 80% of your revenue has to be tobacco products,
mm-hmm.
you're not catering to cigarette smokers. You're catering to marijuana smokers. What's the likelihood that all those folks are going to come in and buy tobacco from you? There are provisions where you can't charge a cover to get in. So I'm failing to see where the profit model is in the current regime. I don't see how anyone who gets this license can make any money off of it. You're not allowed to sell alcohol, which is probably a good thing. But it also restricts you from selling food, like they do in the coffee houses in Amsterdam.
And that's
where you should make your money, on the munchies.
Oh, my God. Right? Just fried chicken all day long.
Exactly. So my point is, I think the state needs to do better to sweeten that offer. I think that they stuck these things with tobacco licenses to satisfy people who are worried about smoking indoors and the Clean Air Act and all that. So it's an imperfect law. I think that needs to be tweaked, and I'm going to actually offer to go to Springfield and help the mayor with that this spring.
So there's plenty of work to be done here still.
There sure is. Absolutely.
Okay. All right. Since we're on the issue of sin, I might as well just continue to work down this road. The state of Indiana has already figured out how to do gaming on your phone, right? Mm-hmm. And that's sort of the micro betting and the sort of stuff that's happening. We've now, with the casino and the gambling bill that was passed here last year, we're waiting on that in Illinois. Mm-hmm. What is the holdup? Do you know?
I believe that we're going to have a legislative fix in Springfield by the end of session in May. Governor Pritzker has made a commitment to working with Mayor Lightfoot to make the necessary adjustments so that a Chicago casino is financeable. And I think in that effort, they'll be working to clean up a few other issues that relate to folks outside of the city of Chicago.
Right.
But the tax structure makes it impossible for anyone to get a loan to go and build a casino. With casinos, kind of like with marijuana, you front load a lot of risk. You got to spend a lot of money, tens of millions of dollars on the license and the build out and all these sorts of things, fees to the state. That's hard. But then if you can't prove to the financiers that there's a profit margin, you're not going to get your loan. So that's what's problematic with the current law as it applies to Chicago. So for us to have a viable license here, some tweaks need to be made to the tax structure, which means the state getting a bit less, and I think the city as well. So I'm hoping we'll have an update on the Chicago casino sometime late February, early March.
But that's still years away because they got to
build it, you got to
hire all the guys with no necks to explain to you that you can't touch the chips when they're on the table and all that, all those things. But the micro betting piece, which may end up being incredibly profitable because it is so, it's automatic, right? I mean, right. You're going to take a piece of every transaction like that. People are doing it on their phones, mm-hmm. and they're going to be doing it as they have been in Europe. I mean, it is a gigantic industry in Europe. And people, the idea of the ethics of this or the humanity behind this and making it easier for people to gamble away their money, we have to put all those arguments aside because the horse is out of the barn.
Right.
Question is now, if the state wants to make money off of this, that is an opportunity that is being lost because they're just sitting back there. Now, eventually, it's geofenced in Indiana. You can't, if you're here, you're not able to bet off your phone. If that won't work. But if you're in Indiana, you can do it. And Indiana seems to have some things going as well that are incredibly, they've got casinos that are getting built, and they're moving a little bit faster than we are.
Well, I'm sure the legislature here is paying close attention, and if it's working well in Indiana, Illinois is famous for borrowing good ideas from other people.
Yeah, well, that's fine.
And I'm fine with that, too. So my guess is that will be looked at. But I agree with you. People should be concerned about making gambling too accessible and too easy, because a lot of folks that can't afford it get addicted to it.
Right, and it's right on your phone.
Yep.
Right? And it's
too easy.
That's very easy.
That's not driving to the casino to make a bet. That's pulling out your phone.
The casino. Now, the other thing, though, is that they wanted to, there was talk when this was happening, that the companies that were interested in doing this digital mobile version wanted to be up and ready to go for the Super Bowl. And then, of course, you got March Madness right around the corner after the Super Bowl. And it doesn't seem like any of that's going to, we're not even close.
They're certainly not going to be ready for March Madness in the state of Illinois.
Yeah.
Because it takes too long to pass the law.
Do I have to go to Indiana for March Madness? I mean, I just don't, I don't feel, that's too much of a sacrifice for me.
Maybe have your friend in Indiana make your bets for you and you can stay here.
I think that's illegal because we call that a bookie.
Oh, well then don't do that.
Right.
Because I would never encourage you to break
the law. So Mikey sends Amelia's cousin, Mikey Books.
Mikey Books.
Mikey Books. He actually might be Mikey sends Amelia as far as I'm concerned. Sounds exactly like him on the phone. That guy, you know, and that guy shows up at my work, you know, like, you know, once every other week. Hey, I'm going to, you know, that thing.
Don't call Indiana.
I'm real sorry about Ohio State. All right. Alderman, it's always a pleasure to have you here.
Thanks, Ro.
Anything else would you like to, is there something of great import you'd like to share with us in 5 seconds?
Just that we did put a resolution in to honor Sporty the dog. I don't know if you remember Sporty. He was the golden retriever who walks himself.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah.
He passed away, so we honored him at City Council
today.
I
love that dog. We used to see him on Michigan.
He's a cutie.
Thank you very much. Thank you, Alderman.
Thanks, guys.
Appreciate it. We got news from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom, too.